You please turn to John chapter 20. Being Easter Sunday, it'd be good to reflect on that time of the resurrection. We've been singing about it, but we'd like to read what one of the eyewitnesses has to say in the Apostle John. We read there in chapter 20, starting from verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. And as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when they had so said, or when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy side, and thrust it into my side, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have seen, that have not seen, yet have believed. And we'll commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we want to thank you that we serve a risen Saviour. And Lord, as we come and reflect upon these things this morning, I pray that your Spirit will be the one that teaches us, who illuminates us, And Father, guides us in the things that you would have us to know this day. Glorify yourself in our midst today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this chapter, in John chapter 20, we read what the Easter period is really about. I guess the world is trying to confuse us and to tell us what this Easter period is really about. But this is what it is really about, and that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought since it's Resurrection Sunday, it would be good for us to reflect on the resurrection of Jesus and see what that actually means for us today. Although it happened over 2,000 years ago, the reality is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ has a huge impact on us this very day that we live. We often don't realize that or don't consider it, but it will change everything if he hasn't risen. And there's no doubt that the resurrection is the major part of the gospel. There have been plenty of people that have declared to be a Christ or a Messiah or a God of some sort, and they have died. But it's only Jesus of Nazareth that is different to all of these because he has risen from the dead. And without the resurrection of Christ, there is no gospel. There's no good news. There's no excitement. There's nothing to tell. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is the gospel that Paul preached. But could you imagine if it read like this, "For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I have also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried." Imagine if that's where it ended. If that's where it ended, we wouldn't have a gospel. There certainly wouldn't be any power in the gospel, because there are many people that worship and follow different people who have experienced the same sort of thing, lived a wonderful life, did amazing things, and then died. But we see here that Jesus Christ is very different to those. And it's the resurrection, really, that caused such an uproar in the early days when there was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. I could imagine most people could handle hearing that Jesus died for their sins. But when the resurrection was mentioned, that's when people got upset. And there are many occasions and many examples I could show you. One occasion is in Acts chapter 17, when we read that the Apostle Paul was in Athens, and he was overcome by the idolatry of the people. And so he took the opportunity to preach unto them Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And this is what he says. Let me read it to you. "For in him we live and move." This is talking about the God of heaven. "And have our being, as certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art of men's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear them." When they heard the resurrection of the dead, that some people mocked, they laughed it off and thought that was ridiculous. While for other people, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, they wanted to hear more. This was a very strange thing. It wasn't a normal occurrence for someone to rise from the dead. And so some wanted to hear more, while others laughed it off. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ has been has affected people in the same way all throughout the history since that day. And it's been one of those old age debates. Did Jesus really rise from the dead, or was his body stolen by the disciples and then they propagated a lie so that they can say that what Jesus said would happen did come true. That's the old age debate. Did he rise or not? Or I guess another question is, does it matter if he rose or not? And today I don't want to try and look at and prove to us that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I think I'm with sympathetic hearers here that you believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But what I do want to look at is what if, or two questions, what if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? If this was a bunch of lies, how would that affect us? Would it affect us? And then secondly, I want to look at what if Jesus did rise from the dead. Look at the opposites. First thing I want us to consider this morning is, what if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? Have you ever stopped to consider what that would mean to you if Jesus wasn't risen from the dead? That he is still in the grave. Would that affect your life? Would it affect your faith? Or would you be happy to accept that Jesus died on the cross for you and that was enough? He took the punishment for me, but okay, even if he didn't rise from the dead, I'm still going to believe that what he did was for me. How would it affect you? Well, you know, Paul addresses this very question in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the conclusion that he comes to shows us that if Christ did not rise from the dead, well, then that would have a significant effect on our life. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a doctrine that we cannot live without. It's imperative. Everything changes if Jesus is still dead. And I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because that's where we're going to plant ourselves this morning. And we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul has to say about this idea or notion, if Christ be not raised. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read from verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand." This is the whole foundation. "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I laboured more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed." Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, we'll stop it there. We see here that there are some at this church at Corinth that disputed about the resurrection of people. Some didn't believe that there was going to be a resurrection of anybody. And so they thought that once you're dead, you're dead, and no one could rise again. And Paul says to those who believe this in verse 13, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen?" And so he's reminding them of the importance of the resurrection doctrine. He says, if there is no resurrection, well, then that means that Jesus Christ hasn't risen from the dead either. And so one leads on to the other. And so if no one rises, well, then Christ is dead, and he's still dead this very day. And now once he comes to that conclusion, he then goes on to answer the question that I want to look at today, and that is, what if Christ didn't rise? Because Paul goes on to explain the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the huge effect that it would have on us if he hadn't risen from the dead. And that's what I want us to consider this morning. Paul goes on to explain to us the impact it would have if Christ had not risen. And the first thing he says here is that our preaching and our faith is vain. We read that in verse 14. It says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." And so if Christ didn't rise from the dead, then both our faith, that is, those things that we believe and that we hang on to, and the preaching of our faith is vain. That is, it's completely empty. It's completely worthless. There's no merit to it whatsoever. Now that's important, isn't it? So what do we preach? What do we believe? What does our faith consist of? Well, there are a lot of things, but there are some key basic things that we believe. You know, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, don't we? That's imperative. But if Christ be not raised, well, then our faith in that is vain. What it means is that he wasn't the Son of God, but he was just an ordinary man. And he wasn't who he said he was. He was a liar. And he went around deluded of himself or just trying to delude other people. And so he wasn't who he said he was if he didn't rise from the dead. That has a major impact on us, doesn't it? You know, we also believe that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. As he hung there, he bore or took the punishment for our sin. But if Christ be not raised, well then our faith and what we believe is vain. That means that he didn't bear our sins in his own body on the tree, but when he hung there, he bore his own sin on that tree, and he is still bearing that his sin in the grave and being punished for his sin. Huge impact for us. You know, we also believe that we've been reconciled to God, don't we? Because he bore our sins in his own body, and when we cry out in faith and ask for that forgiveness, we believe that we have been reconciled to God. We're no longer under the wrath of God. We no longer have to bear the punishment of our sin, but we are reconciled. God is no longer this fierce God that is going to bear judgment upon us one day, but he is our loving heavenly Father who cares for us. But if Christ be not raised, brethren, we are still under the wrath of God. We're not reconciled to him at all. That's important. We also believe that we will be raised to a new life in Christ, don't we? Those who have received Christ, one day we will rise again in Christ. But if Christ be not raised, if he's still in the grave, well then that means that there is no resurrection to those who are trusting in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. When we die, and then that's it. We're not going to be raised again from the dead. That lovely chapter in 1 Thessalonians, when the trump will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive shall be caught up, that's not going to happen. There is no resurrection for us. And we also believe that there is a promised home in heaven, don't we? Jesus said that if I go, I'll go and prepare a place for you. And if I do go, I'll come back and receive you unto myself. But if Jesus is dead still in that grave, that's not going to happen. These are the things that the disciples believed and preached. And these are some of the things that we believe and preach as well. Yet if Christ did not rise from the dead, well then these are just cunningly devised fables. And our faith, what we say we believe in, is just absolutely vain. Jesus isn't the Son of God. He didn't bear our sins. We're not reconciled to God. There is no resurrection for those in Christ Jesus. There is no heaven waiting for us. That makes life just very scary all of a sudden, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And that's what the Apostle Paul first all says. Our preaching, our faith is vain if Christ be not raised. But then he goes on to say that we are still in our sins in verse 17. He says there, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." Oh, sorry, I missed one. Verse 15. Let's go to that. It makes the apostles liars first. Verse 15. Yea, and we are false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. You know, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, well then that makes the apostles liars. You know, it means that all of the New Testament is a load of rubbish. We may as well grab our Bibles from Matthew, turn over to Revelation, and just tear all of that out. Because the apostles that have written this are really false testifiers or false witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were either deluded and thought they saw him, or they were realized they were wrong, but they were too proud to admit it, so they stole the body, and then they propagated a story that Jesus really did rise from the dead when it wasn't true. And in fact, they were so proud and so deluded that they were willing to die terrible deaths in order to keep this lie going. And so, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, well then that has a major effect on us, because all those sweet verses in the New Testament that we cling on to and we read and we enjoy are written by liars. And so they are false witnesses if Christ be not raised. And then in verse 17 we read, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. And so if Christ isn't raised from the dead, we're still sinners, in the sense we are still bearing our own sin in our own body, and Christ didn't bear those sins. You know, what does 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's a lie, if Christ be not raised. They are just simply the words of a false witness of John. What does it say in John 3:16, that most famous verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a lie, if Christ be not raised. And that means that we're still bearing our own sin. All those sinful actions, all those sinful thoughts, you're still bearing that sin upon yourself, and God is not your friend, he is your enemy. And you are sitting under the wrath of God this very moment. And so that has a very big effect on us. But then the Apostle Paul says that if Christ be not raised, then we won't see those believers who have died. We will never see them again. That says there in verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That says they're gone forever. There's no hope of ever seeing a loved one again if Christ be not raised. You know, the death of a loved one is a very sad thing. And without the knowledge of the resurrection for those who are in Christ, well then, death is a very final goodbye. And you know, sadly, for those who aren't saved, death is a final goodbye. We will never see them again. But the joy that the believer in Jesus Christ has is, for those who are in Christ, we will be raised and we will see each other again. I can remember when Linda's father was dying of bowel cancer, and he'd been saved for about 4 days or 5 days, and the end was getting very close and he knew it. And we were at the hospital visiting him. This is the room where he never comes out of. And we were saying goodbye to him, and he said, well, I guess this is it. This is goodbye. And I said, Bob, it's not goodbye now that you're a Christian. It's see you later. And I remember the smile that came on his face, like it just hit him. Yeah, that's right. It's see you later, isn't it? And he realized that death is not the final thing and it's all over, but there will be a reunion again. And that's the hope. That's the joy that we have in Christ. But if Christ didn't rise from the dead, all that comfort's gone. There is no reunion. It's all over forever. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. And then he goes on to say that we are, of all men, that is the believers in Christ, most miserable. He says there in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Now, you know, as I was thinking about this verse, I have to admit that we can't claim this statement like a lot of believers could. You know, the fact that in our country, to live as a Christian in many respects is a blessing and a wonderful thing. And I know that I have a much better life as a Christian, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, than a lot of people have who aren't believers. You know, I have a wonderful family life, and I know that's due to Christ and me living a life that He wants me to live. I have wonderful friends, and I know that's mainly because of Christ and the fellowship that we have in Him. I know that I live in a lovely country that is not very safe and prosperous. And so even if Christ didn't rise from the dead and my whole life is pointless, there's not these things to look forward to, I still have had a very good life. That's a blessing. But the reality is, for Paul, who had been beaten and whipped and imprisoned and hated, for him, his life and all that he had gone through would be absolutely miserable if Christ did not rise from the dead. When he looks at his life and all the things he's going through, he says, boy, if we only got Christ in this life, we're of all men most miserable. Because he went through terrible things for Christ. And there are many people who suffer, you know, great persecution. They suffer great isolation. And if they only have Christ in this life, but it's all vain, they've gone through a terrible life for nothing. You know, I think we're talking about the Boy family, the missionaries of the month. You know, they've had a lovely home in Bathurst, and they had a pretty nice life there for quite a while, and then they moved, I think, to South Australia. But they had a lovely life, you know, got sick, they had a lovely hospital to go to, you know, life was pretty good for them. But they chose, because of Christ, to go to Papua New Guinea, and there they got suffer poverty, hunger at times, they terrible diseases, their children are getting sick in various ways, and I know various other missionaries suffer like that as well, and they do that for Christ. If they only have Christ in this life, they are of most men most miserable. And I guess in a smaller way, it is similar to us. You know, the time that we put into serving Christ is an absolute waste of time if He isn't risen from the dead. The slight little bit of persecution that we may go through is all in vain. It's pointless going through that if Christ be not raised. There's no point living the Christian life unless Christ rose from the dead. And you know, that is the conclusion that the Apostle Paul came to as well. If you look down into verse 32, Paul gives us his advice if Christ didn't rise from the dead. He says, if after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it me if the dead rise not? And this is his advice, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If there isn't a resurrection, we might as well just live it up right now as much as we possibly can, because there's nothing to live for. Once you're dead, you're dead. And isn't that how the world thinks today? They don't believe in a resurrection to come. They think that this life is all that there is. And so they might as well enjoy life as much as they possibly can while they have a life. And who cares if what they do is evil? Who cares if it's deemed wrong or excessive or selfish? Who cares what everyone else thinks? We might as well do whatever we feel like doing, because once you're dead, there's no coming back. You're dead forever. Enjoy life to the full. And you know, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, we might as well do the same. Might as well stop coming to church on Sunday. Why worship someone that can't raise us up? We might as well stop reading our Bibles, sleep in, Don't worry about getting up and having a quiet time. We may as well not bother witnessing and telling others. There's nothing to tell. We might as well stop seeking to live a holy life and stop restraining the flesh. We may as well eat, drink, and be merry. Because once we are dead, you're dead. And that's Paul's advice if there is no resurrection. And so as you can see, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, it would have a significant impact on us. On what we believe, on how we act, and our attitude. And so the resurrection is an essential part of the gospel. Let's not just consider how Christ died for us, let's focus also on how he rose from the dead. Because without it, it's vain. But I guess the question I do want us to quickly consider is, what if he did rise? Well, if he did rise, well then, means the opposite to all those things that we just looked at. First of all, Jesus is the Son of God. It means that he did bear our sins in his own body. It means that we are reconciled to God. It means that there is a resurrection to come in Christ Jesus. It means that there is a heaven waiting for us. It means that those apostles were true witnesses of Christ and they did see his resurrected body. It means that we are no longer in our sins. It means that we will see those believers who have passed away one day again. It means that we are most blessed and joyful. And it also means that we should not live in the flesh, but we ought to be seeking after holiness and righteousness in our life, as he has. But you know, there is one other thing about what the resurrection means for us. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Let me read it to you. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall hear and shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. He and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." And this is the important part. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Here the Lord Jesus explains to us that there is going to be a resurrection of all men. It's not just believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that will be raised from the dead. Jesus says that all that are in the grave shall hear my voice and be raised again. Some will be raised to eternal life, and that is those that have been saved through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But some shall be raised to eternal damnation. And that is those who have rejected Christ. And this should cause great fear to anybody who does not know if they have been saved or not. Jesus says, when you die, one day you will hear my voice. And you will be called out of the grave. And there will be the great day of judgment. And then he will judge us according to our works. And everyone would be found guilty of the works. And it's only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life who have received Jesus Christ shall be saved. But those who aren't, it says, shall be cast into the lake of fire in their resurrected state. And so we see here that if Christ did rise, then all will rise. Some to eternal life, some to eternal damnation. And the reality is Christ did rise. And that's what we celebrate this Easter Sunday. So the question I must leave you is, because Christ has risen from the dead, which resurrection will you be a part of? Will you be a part of the resurrection to eternal life? Or will you be a part of that resurrection to eternal damnation? Because it's one or the other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and thank you that we can remember what Christ did on that cross and then what he did in that grave for us as well, where he, through his power, showed he has even power over death and showed that he paid the penalty for us in full. And Lord, we give thanks for you for that. And Lord, as we stop and we consider what he has done for us this day around the Lord's table, I pray that we would be encouraged and blessed by this, we pray. Amen.